Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in once again to the Rap Soul Podcast. Again, this is the intersection where we have discussions about music and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. So again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. I want to thank you all for tapping in on YouTube, for those of you who are watching on YouTube as well. On this week's episode, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have a discussion about artists from the 80s and the 90s, particularly hip-hop rap legends. I came to this idea because I saw something on Twitter that was comparing a really incredible MC from the 80s versus a really incredible MC from the 90s. And I got the bright idea to do a podcast about it. And if you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. I will not be doing this podcast alone. I have with me one of the dopest podcasters out there. I'm a fan of his podcast. It's called Conversations with Lamp. My man, James Lampkin. I call him CNN Lamp because the guy interviews like he works for CNN. Lamp is in the building. Lamp, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Good. Again, I want to apologize. Folks, what you don't understand is me and Lamp just recorded for about 5 minutes, and I realized that I had not pressed record.
It's all good, man.
So we're doing the intro again.
You caught it early. That's good.
Yeah, my man Lamp here. If you guys follow me, Lamp was on the 12 Kyle podcast a few months, probably about a year or so ago. We talked some football, big sports fan, just like me. Lamp is from the DMV area. The DMV area. That's how y'all pronounce it. So I had to get Lamp on. We were texting and everything and talking about it. And he did not know about the Rap Soul podcast. So this is perfect. This is his first introduction.
No, hold on. I did know about it.
Okay, I'm sorry. He did know.
You was confusing me with the channel part of it. I knew about the podcast.
Yeah, my bad. I had him confused, but glad to have you on, brother. Like I said, on this episode, we're going to compare. We've got about 8 different MCs. 4 from the 80s, 4 from the 90s. And we're going to base it on a criteria. And I always say, Lamp, I think the key thing when you're talking about, particularly when you're comparing eras, you want to make sure that you have a definition as to what the criteria is. Because a lot of times people will put up these lists and there's no criteria. And I think that's unfair to the fans or unfair to any particular debate that you'll have. So here's the criteria. Based on lyricism, flow, delivery and style, I'm going to ask you who's better, and we'll talk about why or why we think this person's better than the other person. So with that being said, 80s versus 90s rap legends. The first two we're going to go from the 80s. We're going to go with James Todd Smith, a.k.a. LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool James, whatever you want to call him. The man has done it all. Simply put, he calls himself the GOAT. And we're going to pit him up against one of the best MCs, in my opinion, from the 90s, Nas. So my question to you, based on lyricism, flow, delivery, and style, who's better, LL or Nas?
You start out tough. Golly. I'm going to go with Nas. I just love Nas, man. I'm going to go with Nas. Lyrically, slightly better lyrically. I actually would have gave LL the style because he was more influential style wise. But man, lyrically, Nas just so, man, it's Nas. Flow, everything, it's Nas.
No doubt. I will agree with you on that one. I think style, I would definitely give it to LL because LL came in. His style was a little bit different with the Kango. I mean, he made the Kango popular, you know. And the guy had 2 DJs. He could definitely rock a party. He was, for the ladies, I guess, a sex symbol.
Yeah, that counts.
So, I mean, and it's funny because I remember and I'm pretty sure you probably remember this too. We went a long time without seeing LL's head. Like people thought LL was, he was bald, or there were rumors that his head was like real lumpy or something. And, you know, when he finally revealed his head, I think in the Flavor in Your Ear video remix, you know, he just had a regular head. He had a milk dud head like everybody else. He didn't have any hair on his head, but, and he started, you know, rocking little hats with little visors where it would expose his head. But yeah, I'm going with Nas. I think Nas lyrically, his flow and delivery, I think Nas is one of the best wordsmiths we've ever seen or heard on a microphone. I'm a little biased because that's one of my favorite MCs, but all biases aside, I think it's definitely Nas over LL. So we actually agree on that. I'm interested to see which ones we agree, which ones we don't agree with.
Okay.
Number two, 80s versus 90s. 80s, Rakim. 90s, the Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls.
Okay. Reason why.
Oh, you got Rakim.
Lyrically, Rakim was the forefather. Like, he one of the few, one of the ones who set the tone for how rap gonna be. Biggie, to me, great lyricist, great delivery, great everything, but just not enough body of work for me. So I'm going with Rakim.
Mm. So you actually hold Biggie's lack of body of now, of course, we know it's not Biggie's fault. He only has two albums. But it's not his fault, but hold that against him.
Yes, you have to. Like, because if you listen, because okay, let's say we're gonna go back to Nas, right? Let's say I think we agree Illmatic was a classic, right? Right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
So, for sure.
So Illmatic was a classic. In my mind, It Was Written was a classic. So he had two classics. Okay. Right out the bat. Biggie can say the same thing, okay, but unfortunately his life got cut short. We saw Nas, unfortunately, kind of go through a rough spot. Who's to say that wouldn't have happened with Biggie? Who's to say, you know what I'm saying, with Biggie, we can't listen. I know people don't like Bad Boy, whatever. Them, when they was running shit, they was running shit. They had the best producers, best everything. So you put the Biggie always had the best producers, like the Hitmen. I mean, you gotta look at the albums that he had, the Hitmen, RZA. Mm-hmm. Like, man, look, he had a phenomenal production team. So, but we don't know if once he had left Bad Boy, would he have been able to keep that. So That's why, yeah, you gotta hold his lack of work against him. It's not his fault, but hey, reality is reality.
No doubt, no doubt. Now I'll give you a little pushback on producers, because if we look at Nas, particularly, let's just look at Illmatic. Illmatic had Premier, it had Large Professor, Pete Rock, LES. So he had some of the best producers. But I'll agree. I think Nas is definitely better in that aspect. And I don't, you know, I try not to hold that against Biggie. I just judge Biggie on his, you know, the work that he had up until that point. But we're talking about the God MC here.
I know you don't want to stay on this topic too long, but if we both love sports, right? We both love sports. When an athlete career gets cut short to injuries, we always gonna say, well, what if? I mean,
yeah,
it's gotta work the same way in music. I mean, it's a what if. We can't say for sure he would have been able to sustain the momentum he had with those two albums. I mean the third album, that was some throwaway songs, so I can't count that one against him.
No, I don't count that, because he wasn't here.
Good album, don't get me wrong, it was a good album.
Trying to make some money.
It was. It definitely was, because those were the songs he wasn't.
Did you like it?
A lot of them were like new, but yeah, I liked it. I mean, okay. It wasn't. I mean, you got like his his throwaways is better than a lot of people use material. So it wasn't that I didn't like the album. It's just, you know, it was songs that he didn't use, or it was songs that was he was getting ready to use. So, you know, I get it. But I gotta go. You gotta hold point. I mean, that's what it is.
No doubt. I think you make an interesting point. That third album, it was called Born Again, for those of you who don't know. I wonder about that album, because like you said, it was verses. I think I always viewed it as something that Puff put together just to make some money. I don't know necessarily if Biggie would have used some of those verses. Maybe he, or who knows what creative control he would have had to say yay or nay to any of that stuff. And then when I see, like, there was a song that he did on that album, it was Biggie and the Hot Boys. Now, if Biggie were alive, I don't know Biggie personally, but I don't see Biggie doing a song with the Hot Boys. I could be wrong. I mean, he did a song with the Bones. I think he would have did that song. You think he would have? Now, the song is jamming. It's jamming. Yeah.
I think he would have. So, I'm going to tell you what I think he would have did it, because I think Biggie, I think Biggie loved to show people he could change. He could compete with anybody in any style. And Cash Money was on fire at that time. So I think he would have did it. I think he would have did that song.
Okay. What about Rakim? You mentioned that you're going to give it to Rakim. Why are you giving it to Rakim?
Like I said, the lyrics, just a lyric, you know, lyrical genius. And Rakim, one of the forefathers. Like, he inspired Nas. I mean, what? Shit, if that's all, if that's, you could just put on your resume, I inspired Nas, and that's enough. So.
Right. Facts. Yeah, I got to go with Rakim too. Like I mentioned a little earlier, I think, I mean, we refer to him as the God MC, and I think he's, you know, those first probably three albums, you know, depending on who you ask. I mean, a lot of people viewed him as a classic, you know, a couple of five mics in there. So, I think Rakim, and I always say this, if you had a tree, a hip hop tree, and then you had just a tree of Rakim, his branches would spread out to so many MCs. And I think a lot of the MCs that we ended up loving, and a lot of the MCs that the kids love today, you know, they're from Rakim's tree. I think, I'll use Kendrick Lamar as an example. I think Kendrick Lamar definitely is a descendant of Rakim, because he's a descendant of Nas, and Nas was influenced by Rakim. And so while Kendrick Lamar may not have, I'm pretty sure it's Kendrick Lamar strikes me as someone who's a student of the game. So I'm almost certain that Kendrick Lamar listened to Rakim. I can't say he grew up on Rakim, but I'm sure he's heard Rakim's music before.
Yeah.
But I can hear the Nas influence in Kendrick Lamar. So that tells me, again, he's not far off from that. I think he's from that tree. I think it's tough. I love Biggie, much like you, Lamb. I said, I judge him off of, you know, what he put out. We don't know what he could have been or should have been. He was, you know, tragically taken away from us way too soon. That being said, you know, we love Rakim. I'm as big a fan as I am of Rakim. I didn't like the Don't Sweat the Technique album. I didn't like that album. And that was like the first time I was like, oh my gosh, they came with something that wasn't like,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
I got you.
And that was the last album that he did with Eric B. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, they were kind of throwing it in. But yeah, yeah, so far, I'm with you, Lamb. We got Nas over LL, and we got Rakim over Biggie. All right. So now we go 80s MC based on lyricism, flow and delivery and style. 80s MC Big Daddy Kane, 90s MC Tupac Shakur. Who's better and why?
Big Daddy Kane. It's not even close. It's not even close.
Listen, if you're not watching on YouTube, Lamp had this look on his face like, man, I can't believe you asked me that shit.
I mean, because it's like, I mean, Big Daddy Kane, if we going by the tree thing, like, which is a good philosophy, I mean, Big Daddy Kane, like, so I put a lot of stock in the originators.
Okay.
So, I mean, Big Daddy Kane, like, what couldn't he lyrically? He was respected. Like, one of the elite lyricists, delivery, style, everything, flow. Tupac to me, and I know people not going to want to hear this, and I don't care. He's lyrically, he's above average. But Tupac lyrically is not.
Wait a minute, say that because you went out. Say that again, Lamp.
I said, I know people not going to want to hear this, but Tupac lyrically was slightly above average. Lyrically. Now, we talking about influence and style and delivery and all that. Yes. But lyrically, man, listen. Oh my God, did you hear that? Come on, man. Like, nah. He ain't got no quotables. Like, but what he said was powerful. It's weird because what he said is powerful. Like, I give him that. Like, delivery, 10. Like, influence, 10. But lyrically, no. No. He's a poet. Like, it was basically, he's the definition of a poet to music. So, yeah. So it's not close to me. Sorry, listeners. <It's not
cool. laughs> Listen, man, Lam, I'm rolling with you. I'll start by saying I love Tupac Shakur. Love him, miss him. I felt his music. I was a big Pac fan, particularly early on, like Tupacalypse Now, Strictly for My Niggas. Those two albums, man, I ran those albums like crazy. Me Against the World is my favorite Tupac album. But the Machiavelli album, I think, might be his best album. Unfortunately, that album came after he passed. But, you know, and I've often said that the All Eyes on Me album, if it were one disc instead of two, and you took the best from both discs, he could have had the album of the greatest album of all time. That album was just like that. But to your point, Lamp, that's the thing that I get into with people. When I say Tupac was not lyrical at all, like there's no, anytime I get into it with fellow Pac fans, I always ask them the same thing that you just said. Give me his Hottest 16.
Right. Listen. One thing I've learned in my,
don't exist.
The one thing I've learned in my life, don't argue.
If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back. Relax. Join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes.
We're no Tupac fans. Oh my God.
Hey, listen, they will go to bat for Tupac.
They are highly
emotional. And I'm one of them.
And you're not winning that argument because they're willing to shed blood to win that argument. So,
man, listen, it was what was always interesting about Pac, and particularly that whole time with him and Biggie going back and forth. I was in college at the time at South Carolina State University, right? And Lamp, when I tell you, there was a line drawn. You were, and what was interesting was, and it was frustrating for me because I'm a fan. I was a huge fan of both. So I'm like, what do you mean I can't be a fan of Biggie and Pac? I didn't like the fact that they were going back and forth, but people were actually telling me, no, you got to pick a side. No, I don't.
Nah.
Who are you to tell me I got to pick a side? I don't want to see my two of my favorite MCs going at it, but you can't tell me that I got to pick a side. But to your point, Lamp, yeah, people are were literally willing to go to blows for Pac, and particularly after he passed. Once he died, man, listen, the legend grew even more. Yeah. How was it for you around your way when Pac was in his prime and then once he passed?
Man, they love Tupac, man. Love him. Like, that's why I say I'm very careful what I say. These Tupac fans are brutal, man.
You sound like a man brutal. who's been in a few Tupac arguments.
Man, listen, I got a classmate. Me and him was arguing about this back in 98. Me and this dude still be arguing about it. 27 years later, we still arguing about it.
What is his argument? Was that Pac is that Pac?
Oh, Tupac is the GOAT. Tupac is the GOAT. He don't want to hear it. Don't say nobody else's name. Don't mention nobody else. Tupac is the GOAT. Shut your mouth. He don't want to hear nothing.
Yeah, now people like that, you can't argue with them because you can't reason with them because that's insane.
Yeah.
And it's not that Pac isn't worthy of being in the discussion, because now if our criteria was impact, influence, different story.
Yeah.
But lyricism, flow, delivery, and style, yeah, I'm going with Kane too.
It's not even close to me.
Yeah, I mean, Kane was one of the first rappers that I remember seeing on the stage. Kane and probably the aforementioned Heavy D. Probably some of the first MCs I remember being on stage in suits as far as rappers. Rappers weren't in suits. And I mean, like, Kane was sharp. His dancers, Scoob and Scrap, were sharp. And they moved on the stage. They gave you a show. So that was a part of Kane's style and his aura as far as who Big Daddy Kane is and was. And then, obviously, lyricism. You go back to his first album, Long Live the Kane. A lot of people think it's a classic. I mean, Kane could, even now, to this day, Kane can rap his ass off. And, you know, here again, even though Pac's his portfolio of albums, his discography is bigger than Biggie's, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know what Pac would have been had he lived. Yeah. And I would have been interested to see what he would have been, because I don't know necessarily that Pac would have kept rapping. I think Pac would have stuck to acting.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. That's a good point.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I think Sky would have been the limit for him, so to speak. And last but not least, as far as these MCs are concerned, we're going to go based on lyricism, flow and delivery and style. 80s, KRS-One, 90s, Jay-Z. Who you got?
Oh, Jay-Z. I'm not a big KRS-One fan, so I should start with that. But I'm a huge Jay-Z. I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. So it's kind of, I think lyrically Jay-Z is, well, see, no, I don't want to say that out of respect, because they rhyming about two different, they lyrics were totally different. Like, Jay-Z was more street and, you know, KRS-One is more of a teacher. So it's not fair to compare them lyrically. Both of them really good lyrically, elites. So I'm going to just say Jay-Z because I like him more. He definitely was more stylish. I mean, delivery, flow, yeah. That's why I'm going to give it to Jay-Z. So. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Man, listen. This one. this one's tough for me because lyricism, I'll give it to KRS-One. Mm-hmm. Flow and delivery, it's like splitting hairs. Style, I mean, KRS-One really didn't have a style, but I mean, he could rap in different flavors, if you will. But I'm going to give this one with the slightest of edges to KRS-One. Because okay. I think, like, right now, KRS-One can still rap. I don't think right now Jay-Z can rap. And I'm a huge Jay-Z fan. And
hold on,
I mentioned it on a re... Huh?
You don't think he can still rap?
Not like how he used to. I mean, he can still put words together, but I don't think... I think, you know, I think it is Lamp. I think Jay's flow is gone. I don't think his flow... He don't flow like he used to.
Wait a minute, you saying like if he has something new, or
yes, if he has something new. Now his old stuff, now the old Jay-Z. Hey, I'm with the old Jay-Z.
I mean, it's KRS putting out new music.
Yeah, KRS-One had an album out last year, and the year before that, it was dope. You ain't hear it, Lance, so you. You got to take my word for it.
But I'm going to have to because I'm not checking for KRS-One. I'm not a fan, bro. I get why other people like him. I get that he's a master teacher and all that stuff.
Yes.
He gets no play in my ride, though.
And that's cool.
Like, nah.
I understood. Yeah, KRS, he said no play in my ride. Shout out to AWAX. So yeah, Jay-Z, you caught that, right?
Yeah.
So Jay-Z, I think Jay-Z, man, I just don't, if somebody's, I don't know, let's say Kendrick comes out with a song and puts Jay-Z on the song. I think Jay-Z can get on a song with Kendrick and do well. If he was fucking with Kanye come out with a song, he can get on Kanye's song and do well. If you ask Jay-Z to make an album, 12 songs, I don't think he can do it.
You crazy.
So let me ask you this. Did you like 444?
Yeah.
Did you like 444?
Yes.
I didn't think it was good. The flow was awful.
Now, is it one of his...
Jay no more, man.
You know what? Okay, so let me say it this way, right? It's weird because...
Go ahead.
If you look at the... See, I'm looking at the... A lot of the tracks were okay, right? But it was the ones mm-hmm. that really stood out, like 444. Like that song was so good, like, because it gave you him. Like, he was real open about what was going on. So that song was powerful. And you got... Legacy, like it was the songs with like that really meant something that carried the album for me. But it was, don't get me wrong, there was some songs on it he definitely could have did away with. I think that album was just more of a like that album to me seemed like he was going through therapy. He just wanted to do some. He wanted to do. Therapy with his music. That's what that album seemed like to me. So that's why I listen to it a little different. If you got to look at it, to me, you look at that album as a man in therapy trying to just vent or just tell you what's going on in his life. A 444 to me is like an album, a man deciding, you know what, I'm going through therapy and I want to share it with the world and I want to share it with the world through music. So I don't look at that album as like something... like that he was looking to really like impress people. I think it was more just he wanted to just say his piece through music. So that's why I look at that album different. Cause it's not a lot, don't get me wrong, cause it's not a lot of strong tracks on there. It's just the ones that I really like. Like cause you gotta remember, keep in mind I'm a podcaster. So when somebody being real transparent, I like that. So it holds more weight.
Right.
But I get why people don't like the album. So let's get that clear. You will not hear me saying, what? You don't like that album? You just asked me, do I like it? And I said yes. So.
Right. No, what you said makes perfect sense, and I understand it. I get it. I'm a podcaster too. I was looking to be and get it. Don't get it twisted. Jay has always had songs like that, like you said, where he gets deep and gets very transparent about, you know, what he's going through or what have you, like that. One of my favorite songs was early in his career. I think one of his best lyrical songs was Meet the Parents. That was a story. Now, it wasn't about him, but it was about a father and a son and being in the game and everything like that. And just the idea of what you may or may not go through. But songs like Lucky Me early on in his career, I liked. Very introspective Jay-Z, if you will. I guess for me, I wasn't anticipating Therapy Jay. And I was just like, okay, yeah, man, it's cool. You want to talk about your mom being a lesbian. You want to talk about how that felt coming out. You want to explain why you did or maybe didn't cheat on Beyonce. That's cool too. I wanted bars. And I was like, he ain't got it. I recently said on the podcast, it's like a sports reference. Like, he is the guy that used to average 30 points a game. Now he averages 18. 18 is still good. But, you know, and occasionally he can go get you a triple-double. He can get you 27, 10, and 10. But I don't think he can do it on a consistent basis. And
so
I
think basically he's MJ with the Wizards.
At least for me. But again, yeah, exactly, Lamp. Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. And I think, and there's nothing wrong with that, because MJ on the Wizards, he still averaged like 20, 22 points a game. He was an all-star. He was still good. He was still dope. He just wasn't the MJ that we remember. It's like, you know, sometimes, I mean, like your homeboy, Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant, basketball-wise, the dude is a walking bucket. He can get a bucket wherever he goes, whatever. But I just think, like, Kevin Durant's about to be 37 when the season starts, right? So I just don't know, even with this new trade, I don't know how much we're loving the idea of him going to Houston, but is it because he's Kevin Durant or because we think of Kevin Durant, the name, and not the player? Because the player hasn't played he hadn't played a full season since he's been injured. So, you know, he's been hurt a lot. So I just kind of liken it to that. So I think Jay, like I said, if he gets on a track and on a feature for somebody, he'll body it. But if you ask him to go do a 12 song album, I don't have any confidence, Lamp. But now people will love it. It'll sell well, and it'll be in the Jay-Z lore. I just can't let Jay disappoint me no more, man.
I think it all depends on who's doing the production. As long as the production right, he's gonna be fine.
That too. If he can, you know, that's the thing too about Jay-Z. Do you think he would go back to some of his old producers? Because I don't know. I can't remember who produced it. I think 444 was No ID. So
yeah, I think so, yeah. You asked me, do I think he would go back to the old producers?
Yeah, if he would go back to like some of his old producers, like Timbaland or Premier.
I think he would.
Or maybe even Swiss.
Yeah, I think he would. I think he would be fine. Like, Pharrell, I think he could use Pharrell too. And I think he probably could use somebody new too.
Yeah,
like,
man, I can't forget about Pharrell.
Yeah, I think he would use some new people too.
All right, so there you have it, folks. We went through the 80s and the 80s versus 90s rap legends. We have very similar opinions. For those of you scoring at home, Lamp had Nas over LL, Rakim over Biggie. He had Kane over Pac, and he had Jay over KRS-One. So Lamp was 2-2. Conversely, I had Nas over LL, Rakim over Biggie, Kane over Pac, and KRS-One over Jay-Z. So I was 3-1 to the 80s. So that's what we did. What I want you guys to do who are listening and watching, hit us up in the comment section. Let us know what you think. That's most important. But before we get out of here, Lamp, tell folks where they can find you, where they can find the podcast, man.
Hey, man. First of all, thank you for inviting me, man. That was fun. I really enjoyed it. You can find me on Instagram at conversations_with_Lamp. My Facebook is also Conversations with Lamp. And you can listen to the podcast. You can listen to my podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and you can also watch it on YouTube. So please follow me on YouTube. I'm trying to get my viewers up.
For sure. For sure. Listen, definitely check this brother out. When I tell y'all, he is very conversational, and I did an episode on his podcast maybe about a year and a half ago, and it was funny. I don't even know if he wrote any questions down, but it was he had me saying things that I didn't even think about saying until I went back and heard the episode. But it was a great conversational piece. We had a great time, and I always enjoy listening. Check him out. Lamp, you normally drop, what, every other week?
Usually every week. I'm just like, ironically doing the music. I usually drop every week. Ironically, we doing music. I just drop I'm on my Gucci Mane. I just drop. If it's ready, put it out.
Understood. You've been here long enough. You know I drop new episodes for the Rap Soul podcast every, we do it every Friday and every Monday. So make sure that you tap in. If you're listening or checking out the 12 Kyle podcast, we drop new episodes every Thursday and every Sunday. So you get 4 episodes a week from me, regardless. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this has been another edition of the Rap Soul podcast. Be sure to subscribe. We are everywhere. So for my man, James Lampkin, a.k.a. Lamp, Conversations with Lamp, make sure that you check that out. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.